This is an AMI podcast.
I'm Kelly McDonald. Here's a segment from our show, Kelly and Company, that airs weekdays from 2 to 4 p.m. Eastern on AMI Audio. If you can't be with us at 2 p.m. Eastern, when we start the program, we run till 4 p.m. Eastern. Repeated the show is at 5 p.m. Remember to check out the Kelly and Company podcast. You can simply subscribe using your favorite podcatcher. And the best thing about that is you can listen to the show in segment form, or if you choose, listen to the complete Kelly and Company podcast. We always suggest that experience because there's a few little extras put in there. That's for sure. You can also catch the audio vanity card that we tack on at the end and a few other little surprises. It's the Kelly and Company podcast experience from all of us over here at AMI Audio, among a whole bunch of other podcasts. We'll talk about some of those later on. I'm Kelly McDonald, the host of the program in the London, Ontario home studio, with Ramya Muthan in her home studio in Toronto.
Kels, we're kind of keeping the theme going. Of course, it's still the first half of the the first month of 2022. So, as you can tell, I couldn't think of January, so I filled there. But it's really interesting to talk about New Year's resolutions, because I'm sure a lot of us are on this boat of, should we even create New Year's resolutions? Because it's just not feeling, like the vibe is not feeling great this year, last year with COVID-19. So how can you keep your New Year's resolutions if you are setting some when you're feeling like you're running on empty? So Dr. Christine Coral is a registered psychologist, founder and director of the Vancouver Anxiety Center, as well as an adjunct professor in the Department of Psychology at the University of British Columbia. And she's here to give us some tips and things to think about. Dr. Coral, thank you for coming on Kelly and Company.
Oh, thank you for having me on today.
We're very excited to talk to you. And of course, we'd love the kind of kickstart into the year with these kind of conversations. So are New Year's resolutions, in your opinion and expertise, are they even good to make, or are they overrated?
Well, you know, honestly, most years, yes. There, you know, a lot of they sometimes get a bad rap and people think, well, you know, I'll be off of them by mid-January, which does happen. But there is some research to show that they can be helpful. But in the middle of the pandemic, I've been telling people to be gentle on themselves. You know, certainly mm-hmm. we're seeing a lot of stress in my practice. I'm seeing a lot of people who are just depleted and burnt out with everything that's going on with the pandemic. So this year I'm recommending goals that are more about putting some fuel in the tank and energizing yourself. You know, January to February is such a rough time until we get a bit more sunlight, and much of the country is facing more restrictions. We've got Omicron, and it's just a lot. So I think at the beginning of the pandemic, everybody thought, oh, I'll have so much more free time. I'm going to learn a second language. I'm going to do this. I'm going to do that. And really, it's proven to be quite difficult to do that when so much has changed in our world. So focusing more on taking care of yourself is a good plan this year.
It's really to be kind to yourself and really credit yourself and recognize we've been through so much, and take it easy on oneself. Well, of course, Remy and I at the top of the show were, oh, no, we don't do those promises, those New Year's resolutions kind of things. However, we jest with that, but also keep in mind that there are so many goals we always set. We need to set for ourselves, mm-hmm. whether they be personal mm-hmm. or work related. So you have some tips to make life a little easier by building up your energy when running on empty. So can we start with one that we know can really change and is the game changer? Sleep.
Yes, that's my favorite one. That's why I put it at the top of my list. And so I've always done a lot of sleep treatment with people. A lot of people come in with depression and anxiety. And when I do a sleep assessment, I sort of try to switch their goals to work on that, because that's the number one best way to put some fuel in the tank. A lot of people think they're depressed and they're really tired, actually. And so important. So there's a lot of people who just don't go to bed early enough. You know, they have no trouble falling asleep. They don't have an issue with insomnia, but you know, after the kids go to bed or you're not on the clock with work, it's the evening is one of the few times where we have time that's just for ourselves. So it's really tempting to stay up too late, and then we pay a price for that time. So making it a priority to go to bed at a regular time. But there are a lot of people who have developed insomnia. They're spending too much time inside their homes, maybe reading in bed. And so our bodies begin to associate the bed with activity and we have trouble sleeping. If that's the case, then a psychologist who does cognitive therapy for insomnia can really help you learn to fall asleep naturally again without medications. So I do a lot of that work with folks. The best project you could do this year is to really get your sleep on track.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. And you know, you mentioned some of the more severe challenges that people face with sleep, but also something as simple as, oh yeah, I don't have work for a week, so I'm just going to stay up a little later every day. And I know, I don't know who I'm referring to here, but you know.
I kind of wonder, because so many of us feel guilty about sleeping, like, oh, you know, I shouldn't be this tired, or why do I need a nap? These are struggles that we created, and not just during the pandemic, before.
It was absolutely a problem before, but a lot of people's sleep is dysregulated as a result of the pandemic. Working from home has been very hard, especially if your office now is a little corner of your bedroom. So you're working all day in your bedroom, and then you're supposed to try and turn it off and go to sleep at night. It's really made it difficult for a lot of people who are working remotely to have that distinction between work and rest. And our bodies, it's a lot of what we do for insomnia treatment is kind of classical conditioning or Pavlovian conditioning. So if you remember, Pavlov rang a bell and gave the dogs a treat and rang a bell and gave the dogs a treat, and eventually the dogs would salivate at the sound of the bell. That's what happens to us when we develop insomnia. A lot of people with insomnia, they feel sleepy on the couch or in a chair away from the bedroom. As soon as they crawl into bed, they wake up. And so that's a sign that you've conditioned yourself to associate the bedroom with waking up. So we basically induce a lot of fatigue and teach people's bodies. You don't even have to believe that this is going to work, but we get you so tired that you crash and so tired that you crash. And eventually your body learns to feel sleepy in bed. So now I can't stay awake in bed. If I'm feeling kind of awake and I crawl into bed, I get sleepy because I've trained my body to fall asleep. So that's one of the things that you can learn to do with a therapist who knows how to do that work. Best thing you could do for yourself is to learn how to get a good night's sleep.
Yeah, exactly. And it's something that we're doing every night, so you know it's affecting our every day.
We get enough practice.
Well, yeah, I do.
Yeah.
So the another thing on your list, and this is something that's interesting to think about during COVID-19 and especially during the real hard restrictions where we're not going out and maybe have some anxiety that, oh my gosh, I am stuck at home all day. What do? You can re-energize by doing less. So can you explain this concept?
Yes, especially things that drain you or people that drain you, things that you need to do. The less our time is filled up with, the more energy we have, the more bandwidth we have. Sometimes if we have too many things on our to-do list, it's absolutely exhausting. And we have to make decisions about where we're going to put our energy and our time. So the fewer decisions that you have to make about what you need to do, the easier it is on your brain, the less cognitive load and the less tired you're going to feel. So trying to get things off of your plate. I think in my list, I also wrote about one of my mentors who talks about how she makes a list of all the things that she says no to, and then looks at it now and then and says, oh, isn't it lovely? I don't have to write that book chapter. I don't have to give that talk. Oh, I'd be so busy. And she says it's really reinforcing. So I've started to do it too. And it's really quite nice to say no and think about not having so much on your plate.
I've heard people say that when it comes to different projects, especially when I've been involved in community theater, and having to say, no, I can't do that show, as much as you're flattered to be invited to be a part of it. But, you know, you start learning to say no, or learning your limit that way to spare yourself. How important is exercise?
So important, you know, and a lot of people think, well, if I'm not doing an hour of CrossFit, what's the point? But, you know, I often start with people, you know, one of the things that I've learned about exercise is working with people who are very severely depressed, and just how even a little bit of movement starts to get you in the right direction and you build a habit for movement. So for a lot of people, I'll say, like, you know, set an alarm for every hour and move for 30 seconds. You're going to be much further ahead just getting in the habit of moving. But if you sit around all day or you're at the computer all day, you're going to feel stiff, you're going to feel achy, and you're going to feel tired. So so much better to go for a 5-minute walk if that's all you have time for. And then you build this habit for movement, and maybe that 5-minute walk turns into a 10-minute walk, turns into a 15-minute walk, turns into a run. And so build on that and start focusing on just having a habit, but start with what feels doable. And it, you know, sometimes you go for a 5-minute walk and you think, oh, actually, it's a nice day. I'd like to go further. That's fabulous. But if you decide to stop at the 5 minutes, it's still a win and that's still okay. In the right direction. We
and
need to move.
We're talking. Absolutely. And we're talking about, you know, running on empty, right? Like how to feel like we can tackle our goals, our New Year's resolutions when we're running on empty. And that's a really good example. Another one is eating healthy. So let's discuss this one.
You know, it's so funny. People are often, my patients are often really surprised when I really hammer on nutrition to them. But it's shocking how much better you feel when you put the right fuel in your body. This is just a really basic physical need that we have. And if you're getting enough vegetables and you're getting enough water and eating lean proteins, you're going to feel so much better than if you get a burger and fries. As tempting as that is, often when we're really tired and running on empty, we want that quick kind of fix of energy. So we tend to give into cravings more. It's hard to make decisions to stay away from sugar and other things, but we'll crash later. And so if you can get in the habit of having lots of healthy fruits and vegetables and easy, healthy snacks, and even if you're eating fast food, there's often ways to make healthy choices, even at different fast food places. Make sure you're making that choice. And remind yourself when you're tempted, remind yourself of how happy you'll be if you turn down that brownie and have the apple instead, and how you're going to feel in the long run. So a lot of people think, oh, I don't want to eat the salad. They feel like a burger. But think about long run. How are you going to feel in an hour from now, in 3 hours from now, if you make that healthier choice? Oh, go ahead. Sorry.
Exactly. I was going to say that that's a really good thing to think about coming into the new year, because we all know we've been eating those Purdy's chocolate over the break. Thank you so much, Dr. Carol. We really appreciate you coming on today and talking about this.
Oh, thank you for having me on. Have a great
day. We were chatting with Dr. Christine Coral about how you can keep your New Year's resolutions when you're running on empty.
My gosh, you must get a lot of those Purdy's. Oh, boy. Coming up in the next hour, folks, Kia Osborne, she joins us. Also, we're going to talk to Susan Loeb, who's an experienced knitter, and we'll find out what got her into it. Coming up next from Montreal, Mathieu Rochette, he joins us for his community report.
You've been listening to Kelly and Company. If you're hooked, subscribe to the podcast on iTunes, Google Play, Stitcher, or your favorite podcast platform. And be sure to leave us a rating and review. Or you can listen live from 2 to 4 p.m. Eastern on AMI Audio.
This was an AMI podcast. For more accessible media, visit AMI.ca.